God has brought us all here together today, and every face I see is a reminder that He is the one in control of this. He is the reason you're sitting where you are. He's the reason I'm standing where I am. And I think that gives us confidence this morning. I believe that God grows us in every season of our lives. And He doesn't waste opportunities. This next season that we're in is one of those opportunities. And He orchestrates these seasons, I think, very well. Kind of as a master farmer, He is growing us. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. Much like how a farmer farms, much like how a baby develops and grows, as Christians, we're to keep growing. That's what we're to do. I know this from Scripture, and we'll look at that in a moment, but I also know this from experience in my life. And I think in your lives too, if you think through your life, maybe the season you're in right now, or as you start thinking through the life events of your life, has there ever been a season where God didn't want to grow you? In the good times and in the hard times. Every season, God is faithfully growing us. I know that this weekend has been that season for me. Believe it or not, I have stepped out of my comfort zone. And here I am in Iowa. We come from St. Paul, Minnesota, and we've had the privilege of spending a weekend together. And God has grown me already just in the last couple days. As I've heard your stories, He's grown my heart. As you've shared your hopes and dreams, He's grown my faith of what He can do here among us. And so I wanted to start by sharing a couple stories, seasons, as we look. I'm going to start looking at some of my seasons here and share them with you as a chance to get to know me, of how God has grown me. And I wonder if I need to hit the on button. There we go. So most recently, God has grown me with that little girl. She's 10 months now. I don't know if you saw her. She was up here clapping. When you all were clapping, she wanted to be a part of things. I think she already likes being at Faith Family. But God has used that experience to grow me. Raise your hand if you have children. Yeah, kids teach you something, don't they? They teach you how to get through a night without sleep sometimes. But they teach you a lot. And God has been using her in my life to grow me and to understand through the eyes of a father what it means to have a child. That beautiful lady up there is my wife, Elaine. God has grown me through her. For those that have been able to meet us this weekend, you'll find out that she's the more eloquent one. And so I'm thankful to have her by my side when I need to take a moment to think about my answer. But you'll really enjoy getting to know her, and she's been a great blessing in my life. And God has used her to grow me. These last, our anniversary is in July for 5 years. And I believe there's been wonderful growth in that. Even our dog has grown me. Another way that God has used to grow me has been my time at Bethel Seminary. Bethel Seminary is part of the Converge denomination that Faith Family is part of. And I work and have been going to school at Bethel Seminary for the last 4 years. I just, in the last year, I finished up my Master's of Divinity, and I'm now currently in a Doctorate of Ministry program in leadership. And I think education is a tool that God can use, and He's certainly been using it in my life as I've been letting Him use that to grow me. Another way that God's grown me was when I was on staff at my home church in Woodbury, Minnesota. This is a church that I grew up at. My father was a pastor here for about a dozen years until he retired, and he currently resides there now. And I was on staff for about 2 years as an interim kind of associate pastor. And so I had opportunities to do some preaching, which God used to grow me. And I got to help with the youth group. We led a mission trip where we had about 200 kids come in-house from different churches into our church to do a St. Paul-based youth group. That was a highlight for us. Another way that God's used to grow me also was doing preaching. Before baby was born, we had a year of preaching where I would preach once a month at the church that we currently go to, which is in Faribault, Minnesota, where Elaine's family is from. I get to give a sermon there next week to tell them what's been on my heart for them, as it might be one of the few times I get to do that. This is a season that God grew me in a way that I wouldn't have chosen. And this is, I don't know if you guys can see, but there's cords and wires and a hospital bed, and that's my dad. And it was this month, 5 years ago, that I was on my bachelor's trip with my three brothers camping, and we came back home to drop off the tent at my parents' house, and my dad sat us down, and it was one of those moments you knew this is going to be something serious. And he had stage four mantle cell non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he was supposed to preach the next morning. And he said, "Rob, will you preach my sermon for me in less than 24 hours?" Sure, Dad. And God did a miracle there. My dad's healthy. My dad's healthy, working on his hobby farm. His garden's doing well. And we're so thankful for that. But the reason I share that is that sometimes the seasons we grow through, they can be hard. And for those of us with more experience, when you think through those seasons, I think some of those memories come up quicker than the others. Those ones that were hard. And yet God is using those moments to grow us. Out of college, I spent 7 years as an independent insurance agent. And God used that to grow me as a young professional, as I got to network and meet people and learn a lot of different life stories, people from a lot of different places. So I did that for about 7 years, all the while being a couple of those years, I got to coach some high school basketball at my old school and got to see some young men grow. I think that kids often are a good example for us of growth. They also need to be kept alive in some of the decisions they make, but they also are eager to grow. I think we have something to learn from them. When they take a shot and they miss it, what do we expect from them? We expect them to keep at it. And I think that's something as adults we need to remember too, the humility of that. Also, while being an insurance agent, I was part of a church plant that my home church launched. And this is the group that was commissioned out from the church to start that. The founding pastor of the church plant that we were working with came up from Ames, Iowa, and planted a church in Minneapolis, and that church is doing great. God has done a lot of great growth there. And I was privileged to be a part of that. Got to kind of see a church start from the ground up, starting with those questions of what is God calling us to be as a church? These are my brothers. I'm the baby of the family, even though I'm slightly taller. But if I brag about that, they're quick to get me wrestle down onto the ground. So I don't brag about that too much. So we all went to Northwestern College in St. Paul. That's another way that God grew me. It was during my college years and my undergrad and through sports. There's a time in my life here when I was about 20 that God grew me I had hit my head pretty hard playing basketball one morning and had a pretty bad concussion. And that started the course of having to drop out of school, being done with basketball, and moving home. And that was a time of isolation for 2 years where I wasn't getting better. And that was a season of growth for me. I think that one of the key moments of growth there, my mom had asked me one evening what I did that day. And I think she kind of already knew the answer. My doctors were telling me, don't do anything. And yet, I was having some fresh time with the Lord. And I put my hands up in the air and I just said, I'm just being loved by God. And I think God used that to remind me of where our identity really is. That was a tough lesson to learn, though, for an ambitious 20-year-old. It was high school. I got to go to a private Christian school that was also attached to the church I grew up at. And these are my parents and my dad that I mentioned earlier. And so I got to grow through high school. God used that in my life. A lot of really good teachers that invested and poured into me. So thank you, teachers out there, for all that you do in growing young people. And we're going to keep scooting. This is going to get a little more exciting. This is junior high. I think I was sixth grade, my first mission trip. We went on a bus ride to Kentucky. And as you can tell, I am excited and ready to go. yeah. Enough said. We're still scooting backwards in time here. These are my buddies in Awana, learning about God's Word. Thank you for those that work with kids this age and helping them discover God's Word and being a place that kids can trust, I think, is a way that God grows in a person. We're still scooting back in time here. This is Waseca, Minnesota. I'm barefooted in the soil, and that's my dad. And that's our garden. And we had a great time growing a garden in what used to be probably a manure pasture for 100 years. And it was great. It was a great experience. And I like this picture because it reminds me how I think God views our growing and work with Him. If you think about this picture, I'm not necessarily, my dad doesn't necessarily need me to bring in food for the season so that we can eat in this picture. But he just wants to partner with me. He wants me to be together. This is one of the tomatoes. They got pretty big. We were the talk of the town at the farmer's market. They really were big. We just didn't have a picture. So I asked my mom to try to estimate now that the tomato is kind of this big, kind of one of things. All right, we're still going. For those that work in children's ministry, thank you for what you do. Just like my little girl is clapping her hands, we're clapping our hands and we're singing a praise song here. And this is the last picture here. And thank you to moms that keep our kids alive. And for what you do to grow us. And so here's kind of the question for today. What gives us the confidence to go for it? And where does confidence come from? And I'll tell you, it's not in man. I'll tell you that. If you're expecting the next season at Faith Family to be one where there is smooth sailing and everything is as it should be, there's no pain, no sorrow, no tears, and if your pastor was perfect with no flaws, perfectly able to shepherd each and every person, that's what you're expecting, or if that's what you see, what just happened was the rapture, and you're in heaven, and Jesus is welcoming you into heaven. That's what you would be seeing, and we're not on that side of heaven yet. And so where does confidence come from? Confidence, I believe, comes from believing that God is going to grow us. And so I'm putting a definition up here for your consideration. And it's been one that has helped me through a lot of the transitions we've been getting ready for these last couple months. And so here's a definition that I offer you. That confidently growing means five things here. First, it means confidence. There's no fear in that. There's expectation. There's hope. But it's different than just optimism. It's not blind optimism. It knows that there's going to be tough times, but there's confidence that at the end of the day, the harvest is going to get in on time and that everything's going to be okay despite the bumps along the way. The second thing here, the confidence that God is the focus of our confidence this morning. The God who spoke creation into existence by the power of His Word, the one who sustains all things, that is where we place our confidence. And then that third line here, that He'll continue. What He's up to is going to keep going. He's not finished with us yet, and He's not going to quit. And the reason is because He loves us. He doesn't want you to stop growing. And we shouldn't feel bad about that. It's a good thing, because He wants us, it's for our benefit that He wants us to keep growing and for His glory. And then fourth here, wants us to grow. I just explained that a little bit too. Not to be stagnant, not to just rest on last season's harvest, but He wants to keep growing. And I believe the fifth piece here is that He wants to grow me. I think each of us need to internalize that. It's easy to think that God needs to grow somebody else, that God needs to help my spouse grow or this other person grow. But I think the right focus is to focus on our own field, so to speak. And what is God wanting to do in your own heart? So, I shared how I've seen this from experience, but now let's get into what really matters. How we see this in God's Word. So in Colossians chapter 6 here, it says the following. It says that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. So first off here, we see that this is based on the gospel. It's the gospel that is bearing fruit, and it is the gospel that is growing. And I love these two words. In the Greek, the bearing fruit is a combination of two words. One is karp, which is fruit, and the other one is phereo, which is where we get pharaoh from. And it means I believe it'd be great if there was like a fruit factory out there called the fruit pharaoh, because that's basically what this means, to boldly, confidently be leading out in bearing fruit. And the word for growing is a combination of words. It's called exano, and that is, ak means not, and then oxano, and then sa would be the future. So you're not going to be the same as you are, is kind of the idea. And that's translated in different translations, not maybe as growing, but maybe as changing or increasing. But it's whatever it is, it's not what it was yesterday. Just like I'm not what I was before this weekend because of how God has grown me. And I think that's the attitude of what this looks like. So it's based on the gospel. We just explored how it's continually growing, that it keeps going since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. That's where my confidence comes from, to know that y'all are still growing. I'm asking you to partner with me in that. And it includes some other things here. If we keep reading, I don't have this up on the slide, but if we start reading in verse 9 of the same chapter, we see that it includes some other things here. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you." Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 7. I got ahead of myself. Verse 7 says, "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." So this church in Colossae, they learned this, they grew because of Epaphras. And there's no rivalry here. Paul says that he's a beloved servant. And we hear the name of Epaphras also in chapter 4, verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, he sends his greetings. He is also always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you. And as I've gotten to know many of you throughout these last couple of days, there's a lot of people like this Epaphras guy in this church that are praying for you, that are wanting to help you grow, that are working hard for you. And that's one of the ways that we can confidently grow is when we're with other Christians. We also grow when there's prayer. Paul is praying, and he's saying that even Epaphras is praying. That's also where growth comes from. We see in the next verses here, in verse 9, we see, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing him in every way. And we see these two verbs again, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. So we see prayer as part of that. And let's just keep reading. Verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And these next pieces are very, very important for growth, for endurance, he says, and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father. So why is Paul so confident that there's going to be growth here? I want to point you to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Says that Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So his confidence is coming, just like what we began with, his confidence is coming from the gospel, that through Jesus, through the God who spoke everything into existence by the power of his word, he is the one that is holding all things together. And he is the one that is the head of the church. That is where Paul's confidence is coming from here. And that's why he's so confident to join in the work that God is doing, because it is God's work. In chapter 1, verse 29, it talks about the effort. It's okay for us to put in some effort to join in what God is doing. It says, verse 29, that's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Dallas Willard is a popular theologian. He wrote my systematic theology textbook. And I like what he says. He says that God is not opposed to effort. He's opposed to earning. But it's okay, just like me and my dad in that garden, to join him in what he's doing. And so effort is okay to be part of our growth. I have another passage here. We looked at how the Colossians were confidently growing in God. Let's look here now how the Corinthians are growing. In verse 6 of the third chapter, he says this. He says, I planted the seed and Apollos watered it. But who's been making it grow? God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. We see these same themes. There's no rivalry between Paul and Apollos. It doesn't matter who started things and who joined things later on. Because God is the one who brings the growth. We also see the same theme here, that God is the one that continues the changing. He's been, that verb there, been making it grow. It's a continuous thing. And at the end, it says, He's the one who makes things grow more and more. So we see, despite leadership changes, it is God who makes the growth. And it does not include rivalry. In that same chapter, in chapter 3, in verse 10, he says, By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is now building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. Do you know what that foundation is, church? You do. It is Jesus Christ. And I think you need to hear that from whoever your pastoral candidate is. That as we grow, we are not going to grow away from that foundation. We are going to grow on that foundation. We are going to honor the past. For those that laid that foundation, we are going to honor that. We are not going to grow from it. Another thing about growth here is that it does not include pride. And I put judgment there too, because sometimes it's hard to judge growth. I think we need God's eyes to do that. Yet He sees it perfectly. The following verses talks about this idea that the foundation and work you've done eventually in judgment from God, and someday He's going to look at that and you're going to see what burnt away and what really remained. What was the growth? What was the fruit? And we're going to see that in eternity with God. We don't get to see that now. And so I think it's important to remember that the fruit is God's. As we bear fruit, as we grow, it's God who gets to take it wherever He wants. He can take someone to Ethiopia to serve in missions. He can move things around. He can bring me down here to Iowa. He can move things around, but the fruit is God's, and He gets to choose where it goes, and He's the one who even gets to see it. And I think it's for our benefit that He doesn't let us walk around with our own little fruit basket saying, look what I've done. Because then there's pride. And if there's pride, that's not in our best interest, and that doesn't glorify God. So why would God bless us in something that eventually is bad for us? And therefore, I propose to you that we humble ourselves, that we arm ourselves, that we make it safe for God to bless us, and that He will get the credit. If we humble ourselves under His mighty hand, He will raise us up. And that's why I say that. And also in judgment of others. To say, you know what, I don't think this person might be doing the growth they're supposed to be doing. That is God's position to do, because the growth is His. And He's the one who gets to see it perfectly. And I can't wait for eternity, guys. Because even if we judged our own growth, which we can't do, we'll never know how far-reaching it is, because we're only here for a short time. I understand that God could come back, that Jesus could return any day. I understand that. But think about what God might do through your growth over 100 years, or 200, or 1,000. We don't know when He's going to come back. And yet your children's children, the people that you impact, we have no idea the ripple effects that faith family is going to have from generation to generation to generation. But we know that God has promised to use his church to reach the ends of the earth, that it'd be to his glory for all time. And I think that's exciting. The last passage I'd like to point us to in God's word today is out of Isaiah 55. And I'm going to start one verse prior to this one. And it's an analogy of farming and how a farmer has to rely on the weather, something that is out of his control. It says in verse 10, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And that is where my confidence comes in preaching. Because if you're face to face with God's word and you open up your heart to it, you are going to grow. Doesn't matter what else I say. If you're getting a chance to meet with God and his word, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. And I love this imagery of rain coming down. And it doesn't evaporate and come back up without bringing life and bringing growth. And something about rain is it's also slightly unpredictable. It takes patience. You don't know when it's going to come. But you farm like it's going to rain. You don't leave your farm empty. You don't leave your field bare. Because come harvest, you're not going to see a lot. You're going to see a lot of thorns and a lot of ragweed. You're not going to see the crop that you want to see. And so we farm like it's going to rain. And God has promised that through his word, it's going to rain on our lives. These next verses in 12 and 13, I hadn't connected the dots to this prior to this sermon. But I love the imagery because it continues this idea of farming and seeing what God has grown. And as I've been able to walk through Faith Family, I've seen what God has grown. And it is precious. It is beautiful. Beautiful things have grown where thorns might have grown. And that is to God's credit. And so as I read these next two verses, think about walking through the countryside, seeing how God has sprouted everything after a good rain. It says in verse 12, "You will go out in joy, and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." So think here, the things that you see here that have grown out of the control of this person walking through nature, the trees of the field, they've grown. They've grown from God. And in verse 13, "Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow." Beautiful. Beautiful. These are big trees. Things that only God could have grown out of your control. He's the one that has done it. And I've seen that at Faith Family, and that's going to continue. That's going to continue into the future. The end of verse 13 says the reason for this growth. It says, "This will be for the Lord's renown." It's for his praise and his glory, that we might look at this and give praise to God for what he has done. It says, continues, "For an everlasting sign that will endure forever. His fruit will not fade away, but it is purposeful, exactly where he wants it, and he's going to use it in mighty ways for generations to come." And so I celebrate Dave's ministry and those before him, and the growth that God has given. I do. And that's worth celebrating, just like this passage, walking through and just looking at the big juniper and the trees that God has grown and what he's done. And as we face the future, I encourage you not to do so with fear, but to do so with joy. You can go out with joy. You can be led forth in peace. And those moments in your life as you think, the painful ones where God grew you, I want you to know that my heart breaks along with you in those. But more importantly, our Savior's heart breaks along with you in those. Jesus knows how hard it is to grow things. He knows that the ground can be tough sometimes. He knows that there's a curse of thorns on the land. And he took a crown of thorns on his head, and he was laid in hard, hard ground for 3 days. I heard someone say, I believe it's Leslie Newbegin, an influential missionary. He said, I'm neither an optimist nor a pessimist, because Jesus Christ raised from the dead. What does that mean? He means I'm not an optimist because I believe that in the gospel, Jesus laid in the ground and died. That there's painful, painful seasons in life. So to the optimist, you're wrong, because there's painful stuff in this life. But the pessimist is wrong too, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that is what we root our reality in. And because Jesus rose from the dead, he broke up that ground. And I love the song that we sang before I came up here. There's a line in there that talks about Jesus being in the tomb and that the ground began to shake. And I love that. I love that. Hard ground began to shake. And it burst open. It softened the soil. And guys, here at Faith Family, the ground is beginning to shake because of the gospel, because we have a victorious Savior who conquered death and sin and who is making the way for us to live a new life, not just in heaven, but we can grow right now into that new life that he has for us. He can make beautiful things grow in difficult places. And so I invite you to partner with me in growing, but most importantly, I invite you to partner with your Heavenly Father. Just as it was meant to be in the garden, as Adam walked hand in hand with God, tending the garden. We can get back to that. You can put your hand in God's hand, and you can grab a rake, and you can start working in the same soil that he burst open from rising from the grave. So in closing, I want to warn us of two things in growing. Two ways that we can go down the wrong path. One, we can grow in pride. Everything can look like success, and yet we might not be actually growing the way God wants us to be growing. The other way, you can go on the other hand, and you can grow in despair and become overwhelmed. Because if you think that growth is all up to man, that's where fear is going to set in. Because who are we? And who am I? You might not see it, but I'm wearing a shirt here. It says, "Are you truly free?" My challenge to all of us is that we are. Through the gospel of God's grace, if you've truly understood it, you are truly free to grow, to try something new. And growing might not be just a cliche, do more. Growing might actually be do less. You might grow in your trust in the Lord by perhaps taking a step back and trusting that God is the one who rotates the world on its axis, whether we work or not on a Sunday, right? There might be pruning. A good gardener will prune branches. That's why we need that discernment to know where to invest, where he really wants to grow us. I think these churches needed to hear this. I think Israel needed to hear this as they were being led into captivity to a new land, that God will continue to grow them. And we have Bible stories of Daniel in the lion's den and Daniel in the fiery furnace. We have stories of Esther. All of this is God fulfilling his promise of growth in a new land. And I'll tell you, I have needed to hear this. I've needed to place my confidence that God will grow Faith Family. And if I don't have that confidence, I'm staying in St. Paul. But I know that God is here, and I know that the gospel is true, and I know that his promises will continue. And so what about you? You guys want to confidently grow with me? If yes, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, all the glory be to Jesus Christ, who rose up out of that ground and who's taking us with him. May we grow to be who you want us to be. May we go out with joy. May we be led forth in peace. Where there's supposed to be thorns, let there be a juniper. Where there should be briars, let there be the myrtle tree. And all of this be for your glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.